Hello, Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition of Cubs on Tap. I am Ron Luce. I am joined by the Juice Man himself, and we have a pretty exciting Cubs victory to talk about. Three straight victories now for our Chicago Cubs. But before we get into it, my friend Juice, how are you doing on this lovely Friday?
Tired. Kind of prefaced what I did today in the pre-show with you. Took a little break from my Stranger Things binge to watch Cubs game. A little tired, got the coffee. I suggest anybody who's into that show goes and watches it. It's freaking amazing. But amazing win for the Cubs today. Beat a good team. And a lot of younger a lot of contribution from the younger guys is I couldn't word it there for a second, but I'm in full weekend mode coming up and excited for us to jump on and talk about this Cubs victory.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, it was an exciting Cubs victory today, man. I mean, I was jealous of you and Joey. You guys got a really freaking good game last night to talk about. Obviously Christopher Morel is just insanity right now, but like our friend Jack says here in the comments, three in a row and making things interesting. It is interesting, and I think that's a great place to start, Juice, because you mentioned the youth of this team, right? And you mentioned the contributions that they're making at the major league level here. They're making things interesting because of these guys that are coming up and actually making an impact right away. I mean, just today alone, sure, only one hit for him today, but Christopher Morel plays two positions in the field today, started at second, ultimately ended the game in center, but he had the home run. He had three RBIs. He had an RBI ground out as well. You know, you have Ian Happ with three hits today. I don't know about the error on that last one, but whatever. Fuck it. They give it to him. Who cares? Nonetheless, he's on base four times today. You know, Nico Horner takes a big walk there. PJ Higgins, a pair of walks and a hit for him today. Nelson Velasquez with his first career triple. Like, it was a fun game today, and these young guys are the ones that are kind of leading the way, Juice.
Yeah, you know, you talked about Samson there for a second. And after him kind of struggling out of the gate, really settled in. You know, we've talked in depth on this show about the status of Steele and Keegan Thompson in the rotation. Now that kind of opens up a spot for a long man. And I know he's been getting starts. He probably won't get starts once the rotation is a little bit more healthier, but he's made his case to stay on the roster. Definitely. I think that there's some value there. There's value to, you know, a guy who can go three or four innings and has the stuff that he has. I mean, it's not overpowering, but he's damn good at hitting his spots and getting people out. And we say this all the time. We talked about, you know, Kyle Hendricks. We talked about it last night. The boring pitchers, they still work. You know, when you're hitting your spots, man, you can still get outs. You can still be successful. But, yeah, I think, you know, I took Morel as my fly the W for the series. And I think we saw a lot of things in it last night's at-bats. That show he's kind of gotten past his struggle there for a little bit. Yeah. And now he's ascending back to, you know, what we saw earlier on when he came in. I just love the fact that, like, he doesn't seem to miss mistakes. You know, the home run was cement mixer, center cut, like
right in the middle
on a tee, you know? And
yeah,
I always say this, like, good hitters take good pitches out, but good hitters still make bad pitchers pay. You know, it's kind of cool to, like, sit and how many guys have we watched, you know, step up to the plate? And I'm not going to call out names, but Jason Hayward. Yeah. How many times have we watched a cement mixer in the middle and he ends up rolling it over to second base? Mm-hmm. Like, these young kids who take advantage of pitches inside the zone that aren't doing anything. It's great to see, you know, hang them and bang them, man, hang them and bang them. And I'm telling you, man, it was great to see him have a nice game today. You know, he had the three RBIs and the big home run to tie the game. And then the Cubs just did so much well today of clawing, right? Like, a team that has as many losses this year easily could have gotten down 4-0 and saw the way Rich Hill was just turning them away to the dugout at will and said, screw it, we'll pack it in. We got another game tomorrow. But, you know, another, you know, great, you know, notch in the belt, feather in the cap, however you want to describe it, to David Ross on keeping these young guys active and into the game and telling them, hey, man, like, keep having good at-bats. And then once, like, they kind of had a couple runs within that fifth inning there, when Hill ran into the trouble, it was like that whole momentum of the game shifted. And it's, and it seemed like the Cubs kind of from then on dominated much of the game. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, like, as these games keep notching and notching, like, David Robertson, man, he's gonna get a haul. It's gonna be nice. He's found money. You know, it's like when you're doing your laundry and you went out with the boys and you forgot that these are the pants that you took out. And then in your back pocket, there's 80 bucks or 20 bucks. Man, that's David Robertson right now, man. Like, that's exactly what he is to Jed Hoyer. And it's gonna be nice to see them, you know, trade him and bring something back. Hopefully it's, you know, either an arm or, you know, some type of infield or catcher help. You know, I know we've talked a lot about the farm system and the lack of depth. You always take another arm, but the positions that we've kind of identified were first base and catcher, you know, as something to look out for the future. They're very packed up the middle, and one of those middle guys definitely could move over to third. So I don't see third base as a need, but yeah, man, it's especially if Christopher Morel keeps, you know, producing ways, maybe he's your third baseman, you know, down the line, who's to say that, you know, there's an outfield spot that's taken up by PCA or Brennan Davis, and you have, you know, Suzuki and Happ still in that outfield, and Morel is forced to play third. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, man, hell of a win today. I was excited to get on the mic and talk about it because it's very rare that the Cubs in this whole season have beaten teams that have played good baseball lately, and they beat a team that was playing well as of late.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Red Sox are 10 games above 500. This is certainly not a garbage team by any means. And Juice, you had so many good points there, and just a couple of things that I want to kind of to mention to kind of supplement your argument here. And yeah, I mean, Samson, you look at the stat line, sure, it might not look pretty, but when you realize what he did today after the really tough start, gave up the four early runs, and he really settled in, 5 1/3 innings of work, 8 hits, the 5 runs, only 4 of them were earned, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. I mean, ultimately a very effective day for a guy like Adrian Sampson, who, like you said, you know, he's bringing value to this Cubs team. He's shown it out of the bullpen where he's come in and give you multiple innings. He's shown it as a spot starter. And even if he's a guy that you just have in AAA Iowa as depth, depth is a good thing to have, especially in today's major leagues where guys are constantly getting hurt. It's good to have a guy like Adrian Sampson. So I agree, tip of the hat to him, especially for him to settle in after the rough start. But, I mean, Efros looked good in his 2/3 of an inning of work. Martin looked good in his 1 inning of work. And like you said, David Robertson, just he's getting the job done. I mean, a 180 ERA is absolutely stupid. And he's just absolutely killing it, and you love to see it. But, Juice, one thing that I do want to supplement today here that I think the Cubs did so well, and you mentioned David Ross, and you mentioned – first off, I have seen – I still see a lot of hate for David Ross. I also want to remind people that David Ross is only in his 3rd year as a big league manager, and he's never managed before. So, like, overall, he's doing a pretty good fucking job given what he's been given. But today, like you said, Juice, right, you could pack it in – 4-0. It's a night game tomorrow because they're on national television. So, like, yeah, you know, you get the extra rest, and you know, you could have just packed it in after giving up 4 runs in the first 2 innings. No, instead, this team battled. They took 10 walks as a team today. That's massive. And kudos to them because, right, bad teams would just lose focus and maybe swing through a ball that they shouldn't be swinging through. No, they continue to put together good at-bats. I mean, shit, Wilson Contreras, I think, alone. Yeah, he had 3 walks today alone. Higgins had 2, and then Andrelton Simmons had 2 walks today. That's the kind of day it was when Simmons is getting on base. But like you said, Juice, that's credit to the manager. Hey, commit to what we're doing. Commit to what we normally do. Continue doing it. You never know what's going to happen. We've seen this Cubs team, even if there have been fake rallies, they don't really quit. And I think that's a huge testament to David Ross. And I think that's just a huge testament to the organization and the direction they're going and this new culture that they're trying to build. It's we don't quit. We play hard. We do the little things. Granted, you know, like last night when David Bodie gets just trucked by Nico Horner, that's not great. But you limit the mistakes. And you, like you said, and you take advantage of the other team's mistakes. And that's really what happened today. The Cubs took advantage of Boston pitchers not being able to hit their spots. 10 team walks, that's going to play. And then on top of it, like, for example, the game-winning run was scored on a wild pitch. We'll take it. Fuck it. I don't care. I don't care how it happens as long as it's a run. And then on top of it, like you said, cement mixer right over the plate for Christopher Morel. And, dude, he's hitting tanks. They're not just, like, gimme shots into the basket. He's parking these bitches in, like, the last two rows of the bleachers. I mean, they are just moonshots. So things that you absolutely love to see. But, Juice, I mean, this is the type of win that – you know, it just, like you said, it feels good, right? You beat a good ball club in the Boston Red Sox, and everybody's happy, and, you know, and you're rolling into a holiday weekend. It's just a good start to the weekend, Juice. My morale is very high right now because of today's Cubs win, and man, dude, it's so much fun. It's so much fun when this team battles because, sure, no, they're not the sexiest roster on paper. No, they're not, you know, the best team in baseball by any means, but just the way they play and the fact that they don't give up and these young guys come up and have this kind of this, that bright eye, bushy tail kind of attitude toward the major leagues, especially guys like Morel, who's just infectious energy. That's just fun to watch as a fan, even in a season that is probably lost at the end of it. But like, yeah, this team might be 30 and 46, but like, they're at least you're seeing the strides that they're taking toward the future, and they're building something here. And again, Rome was not built in a day, and nor is this Cubs team that's hopefully going to be competitive for a really long time. One other thought in regards to today's game, Juice, that I had. I love those Wrigleyville uniforms. They just grow and grow on me every time I see them. And yeah. I like that they're wearing them as the Friday unis now. I think that's kind of cool. Cause I'm a big fan and I might need to scoop one of those.
I just have a hard time like figuring out which player I would want on the back of it. And that's just kind of where I'm at considering the rebuild and the whole thing. Yeah. But yeah, you know, you mentioned Christopher Morel and the tank today. I mean, I was looking on Twitter, you know, just kind of scrolling through prior to the game. And our boy Mai Tai, obviously out in the bleachers as always.
Shout out, Mai Tai guy.
Had mentioned that the wind was blowing in. So yeah. I mean, he hit that with the wind blowing in.
436
dead into the wind
blowing in.
So that's an impressive, you know, exit velocity / you know launch angle on that baby to get it to where he got it. But yeah, no, and just to go back, you made a great point about the taking the walks, being patient. When the Cubs were great in 2016, they took their walks and they got on base and they cleaned it up. You know, they had guys in the middle of that lineup that were going to drive them in via the home run ball or putting the ball in play. I think that now, as a whole, we can start to see what the plan is for this thing. It's to get guys who take their walks and put the ball in play. And maybe they don't homer as often, but they put the ball in play more and they put more pressure on the defense. That kind of builds that into my next point, which I started looking around the major leagues and a lot of these rosters aren't built defensively. You know, we talk about our friends on the South side, right? They're one of the worst teams defensively in the league. Mm-hmm. And look where they're at. Well, going into the season, a lot of, you know, experts said that that wasn't going to be a problem because they had the pitching, they had the hitting. You know, I think a lot of front offices may or may not have taken for granted defense over the course of the last few years to add more runs into their equation. So a lot of these teams maybe aren't set up for the future to, you know, defend this Cubs team very well because they're not going to make the spectacular plays where the Cubs are probably going to be putting the ball in play more often. So while a lot of people think this could be a super long rebuild, if they build the roster correctly and they sign the right guys and they have the right guys hit, I do think that there's a path to where they're in that second wild card next year, strictly because their team is built totally different than the entire league and is going to maximize their talent against a team that is maybe not as good defensively. Mm-hmm. I go back to baseball and history seem to come in waves, right? Like things always repeat themselves.
Yep.
I think It for me, no matter what this has gone, this launch angle stuff, this getting on base, whatever, you know, working the counts, whatever your hitting strategy is. At the end of the day, you can always do two things. You can always pitch and play defense. Mm-hmm. And if the Cubs can figure two of those out and then just surround this lineup with annoying bats, like I'm talking like Tommy Edmund types, where mm-hmm. it's like 10, 15 pitches in before you're getting it out, then you're starting to get deeper into bullpens. You're starting to, you know, turn this into your series to where if you have to win a rubber game, you're getting that 9th, 10th, 11th guy out, you know, of the bullpen. And I know this is a Moneyball quote, so it gets you going. I want to see more pitches. I want that starter out. I want you batting against the 9th, 10th, 11th. But you know what? It works.
It does
work. It does work. And I know that there's a lot to be upset about on the north side of town. This is not the baseball me and you are accustomed to. But let's be honest. Today shows a route to success. If they are able to take their walks, be patient, play good defense, and pitch, and get some young pitching that comes up in the next few years, man, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and Juice, just to build off your argument, because I think you're spot on here, is you look at around the league too right now, and I look at it seem like the White Sox. They're an easy example, right, across town. They remind me of the team that did really well in the juiced ball era. It's a new baseball. They're trying to change baseball. They're trying to make the triple more often a thing. They want more stolen bases. Like, we talked about this before the season with some of our hypotheses that are going to probably play over the next 2 and 3 years. The Moneyball teams are probably going to do well because they're more built to succeed in what is going to eventually become today's major leagues. And Juice, you look back to that 2016 team that, you know, that we all love and adore. They kind of were built that way. The only difference was they were built to be a power hitting team, but they played great defense. They took their walks and they pitched well and they won a championship. And that's the recipe. And you see them kind of building towards that now, right? You see, you know, these pitchers that they're constantly developing and drafting, and we're starting to, we've seen some of them at the major league. Sure. We don't see the front end starter right now that they're trying to develop, but we see the Keegan Thompsons. We see the Justin Steeles. We see the Scott Efros, right? We see the Brandon Hughes. We see these guys, you know, we see an older, you know, David Robertson come back in and look like the David Robertson of old when he was an elite closer that got paid a lot of money by the Chicago White Sox. Like, this is there. You're starting to see the process, right? You're starting to see this team, and like you said, defensively, Nico Horner is having a great season defensively. I would argue he should be in the conversation for the Gold Glove at shortstop in the NL this year. You know, you look at Patrick Wisdom is a great defender. You look at Alfonso Rivas. He's a very good defensive first baseman, probably the best one they have. PJ Higgins, also a tip of the cap to him too. Pretty solid defensive first baseman as well, despite being a catcher as well. You know, Morel plays good defense. Seiya Suzuki plays good defense when he's healthy. He hit a home run yesterday. That was cool and tough. You know, you really do, sir. And Ian Happ, I could argue Ian Happ could be a Gold Glove candidate for left field this year for the NL. Has quietly played a very good defensive left field for the Chicago Cubs. And Juice, you know, you mentioned, right, like the annoying bats. Ian Happ has kind of turned into an annoying bat. Had a great day today. 3 hits on base 4 times and 5 at-bats. That's what they want to see. And that's why I argue that Ian Happ is a guy that they should keep around, because he
and I kind think they're of fits gonna.
That mold.
I think they're going to. I really do. The more and more I see of his at-bats, and today you talked about it, annoying at-bat. He got down 0-2 a lot today and still ended up poking something out there, getting a hit.
That's irritating as fuck to a pitcher.
I have a tinfoil hat question for you. I know that we love to go deep on this, but I know it's been speculated around the league that Theo Epstein is going to be a mainstay in turning baseball around, right?
Sure.
My question to you.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Jed Hoyer and Theo are very good friends.
That's exactly.
Did you feel, and this is a great article for anybody who wants to write it at OnTap Sportsnet, for speculation.
I might take a stab at this one.
Do you think that after all the conversations they clearly had up in the press box, in their own box, you know, going to meetings, Jed Hoyer got a good idea of what Theo Epstein wants to do for baseball? And I'm not saying that they tore the whole thing down because of that. That's not the reason why. But
no.
Do you feel like he's building his team because, like a chess player, he's 10 steps ahead because he believes that this is what the baseball, the MLB is going to look like once Theo has his hands on it? So he's able to, in a hypothetical world, set his team for success before any other team can do that.
Oh, Juice, I love that tinfoil hat take because, honestly, you know what? It makes sense. It makes so much sense because we just sat here and talked about how this team is being built. They're being built to do what? Develop and constantly have great pitching, play really good defense,
have some
speed,
have
annoying bats. Yeah, and run on the base paths. Like, Morel has stolen, what, 10 bags already this season, and he's only been up for a fraction of the year. Ian Happ's running a lot. Nico Horner's running a lot. You know, and you're going to see in the future, right, PCA could be a 40 base stealer if he probably wanted to. Like, that dude's insanely fast. Did you see those triples that he was legging out over the course of the week?
Dude, he had two the other night.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
And the one I was just watching, because it was a great – I need to find exactly who posted it. Great camera work by them because they followed him around the bases. That dude flies.
Yeah, he's fast as hell.
He has, like, your helmet's falling off on the way to third speed because that's exactly what happened on one of those triples. But it makes a lot of sense. The Cubs are building this team to look like what MLB has kind of insisted they want baseball to look like. And, yeah, when you're a poker player, if you got a guy in your ear telling you what the dealer's got in his hand,
you listen.
You're going to listen, yeah. And especially when he's one of your boys. Jed and Theo go way back, you know. For those that don't remember, they were in Boston together back in the early 2000s. These guys have known each other for well over 20 years. Like, they're best of friends. I am 100% certain that they've had, maybe not necessarily the conversations of, hey, this is what I want to happen, Jed, go build your team like this. But I think Jed has picked his brain and they've had those kind of philosophical baseball conversations of just, what do you think is best for baseball? And then it's, okay, yeah, I know, Theo, you're going to be in the commissioner's office someday. We're going to go ahead and we're going to build our team in reflection of that. I love that tinfoil hat.
It's just an interesting thought that I haven't heard anywhere else.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anybody talking about the fact that he is fast-tracking himself to running this league.
Yeah.
And his best friend is running our franchise. Yep. One of his best friends. I love the tinfoil hat, and I'm glad that you picked up on that before I could even get through that conversation, because I, for a minute, when you have that thought, you think, ah, you're nuts. But the fact of it is there's a lot of merit to that conversation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, even if he didn't tell him that this is what he wants, like you said, maybe he told you what he likes about the game. And if you know what he likes about the game, it's exactly what he's going to try to do to it when he gets into that. And absolutely, with the new baseball, it's step one of what's going on in this league. Taking away the home run ball. And we've talked about this on the show in length. The fact of the matter is home runs are fun, but triples are more fun and doubles are more exciting. Let's face it.
Exciting.
Let's face it. A game where people are jogging is definitely not as a play where people are jogging is definitely not as exciting as a play where people are running. And there's 10 different players running in different areas to cover different bases. And there's so much going on. That's what's exciting about baseball. That's why basketball is exciting, right? Because everybody's constant moving.
Movement.
Football, hockey. Same way. When the ball's in play, there's constant movement. Baseball, there's a lot of downtime. And I think the fact of it is guys like Theo Epstein want to cut down on that downtime. That's why the pitch clock is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why robot umps, I think, are going to be something real soon too.
They said 2024, it's gonna start to be introduced, at least in testing.
Yes. So a quicker game with more exciting ballparks, maybe. You know, we talked about, you know, most of these teams, maybe the MLB giving it a shot where they have to, you know, make a triples alley kind of thing that I know that they have over in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting, man. But, like, I'm glad that everybody thinks that Jed is so over his head. But how crazy would it be if we emerge from all of this and everybody looks and they're like, man, he knew something, you know, like that's he. And then that's, I'm just saying, like, I would love to read, and I obviously work for this, you know, this website, and if I could write it, I would. I'm not the writer, as you know, Ron, but I would thoroughly enjoy, and I think that's a viral article right there, tinfoil hat-wise.
Well, I'll tell you what, Juice, I will do my best to articulate your words into paper, because I'm going to take the stab at this one, I think, because we're on the same page here very much on this tinfoil hat take. And it's so intriguing because, Juice, like you said, like, what happens if in 5-6 years people look back and Jed Hoyer's just sitting there grinning with a shit grin on his face, like, I told you, motherfuckers, I knew what I was doing the whole time, and you just didn't believe me. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of, like, I told you so moment of, like, I knew what I was doing. And I firmly believed that Jed knows what he's doing. And I actually have a lot of faith in this front office. Again, Rome wasn't built in a day, and nor can the great next great Cubs team as well. Juice, one quick thought I have, and then I'll turn it over to you for any other thoughts from today's game. You know, speaking of annoying bats and guys here for the future and you needing a name to put on the back of a Wrigleyville jersey, I think Ian Happ is certainly an interesting possibility, really. Or Christopher Morel, because I don't think Christopher Morel is going anywhere for a while, at least if he continues to do crazy shit like this, because as our friend Brad said here earlier in the comments, let's just give him the keys to the city. He's hitting nukes, and he's hitting nukes with a deader baseball. Imagine with the juice baseball, how hard he'd be hitting these things. Would he be hitting like 470-foot home runs?
He'd be hitting my old apartment, because that area where he's hit the last two have been right up the street from where I used to live. Yeah, man. And the wind blowing in today, like I said, that's a 500-foot bomb with the juice baseball. And the wind blowing out, who knows where that ball ends up. But yeah, man, it's I love to see it. Those two guys are appointment television, like we've talked about on this show. There's very few that are. And when you do have a Friday day game and you have a chance to sit and watch, you root for success. They had it today, and it makes you feel a lot better about the future.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way to sum up today's game. Big 6-5 win over the Red Sox. And just a quick comment here from our friend TJ in the comments. He said, agreed. And when we were talking earlier, he said, just saying these past few games look like a playoff team. Just saying. And that was in reference to your wild card comment earlier. So it's going to be interesting, but they are on national TV tomorrow. Hopefully they play well in front of a national TV audience. And we are going to go ahead and look ahead. It is 4th of July weekend. We do like to take some time off here at Cubs on Tap. So we probably will not have live shows the next 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. I will hopefully at minimum be back with you guys on Monday here at Cubs on Tap. I don't know what everybody else's schedules are on the holiday, but that will start the Brewer series. So we're going to take a look ahead to the next two games between the Cubs and the Red Sox. Tomorrow night, as we mentioned, it is a 6:15 start Central Daylight Time, 7:15 in the Eastern Time Zone on Saturday, July 2nd. You know the drill. You can listen to it. WEEI 93.7, WCCM 1490 AM, 103.7 FM. Good lot. That's a lot of places to listen to it. In Boston, for the Cubs, 670 to score, WRTO 1200. And then, as we mentioned, you'll watch this one on Fox tomorrow evening. It'll be Josh Winkowski. He's 3-1 with a 3.60 ERA on the season, and he'll do battle against Alec Mills. He'll get the ball for the Cubs. I'm not going to share his ERA because it's starting to sniff 10, but granted, he hasn't pitched a terrible amount. Got really beat up in his last start. And then on Sunday, it'll be back to a normal 1:20 start on Sunday, July 3rd at beautiful Wrigley Field. Same places you can listen to the game in both markets. You can watch, though, on NESN up in the Red in Boston, Marquee Sports Network in Chicago. It'll be TBD on the mound for the Red Sox on Sunday, but it will be Keegan Thompson back on the bump, 7-3 with a 3.34 ERA is the young right-hander. And as we mentioned, then that'll conclude this Red Sox series, and the Cubs will then go on the road to Milwaukee for three games, and then they're in LA next weekend for four against the Dodgers. But Juice, I'll turn it over to you, my friend, a little preview of the next two games and what you expect out of the rest of this Boston series.
Yeah, for tomorrow, bring the bats. It's been clear that when Alec Mills has been on the mound, he hasn't been himself. It's probably going to be one of those. Thank God Samson went six today to save the bullpen.
Yeah.
So let's hope that, you know, Alec Mills has the stuff going tomorrow, can battle through four, maybe five. I know I'm setting the bar really low for him. But yeah, bring the bats, definitely. You know, it's it'll probably be a good day to hit. And then going in, if you're able to win tomorrow, it sets up nicely for a sweep, right? I mean, with your guy Keegan Thompson, who's pitching very well as of late, against TBD, our favorite pitcher here at Cubbies on Tap. I think that this, after winning today and battling back in the fashion they did, carry that momentum to tomorrow, bring the bats, win a slugfest, maybe like a 9-8 game tomorrow. It'd be nice if it was boring, like a 14-1 Cub win, but with a team that is, you know, 10 over 500, these are going to be close, and they're going to be coming for blood after losing today's game. Hit the ball out of the ballpark and put on a show and have the bullpen come in with a lead and lock it down. I think that's the method to winning tomorrow. And then you just go out there on Sunday and just let Keegan be Keegan. You know, hopefully he puts on a show for us, goes 6 or 7 of, you know, one run or sub that, you know, 0-run ball and go out there and win like a 4-1 game would be nice, right? You know, and then get the sweep, carry that against your division rival up to Milwaukee and see where the cards lie. I know that this team isn't contending for a playoff spot, but go on streaks. Learn how to win games in bunches for these younger guys like Morel and Velasquez, who have come up and done some good things. You know, teach them how, you know, a clubhouse should feel during a streak. You know, let them know the feeling. That way they're constantly, you know, striving for that at the major league level. But yeah, just keep doing what they were doing today. You know, be patient, get on base. And when people are on base, you know, clutch up and drive them home. And that should be a recipe for the 3-game sweep for the weekend, which would be nice because, you know, that's a good team. And that's one of those that me and you can sit on this podcast at the end of the season when we're talking about the high points of the year and go, hey, they played really good baseball, you know, over the course of July 4th weekend. And they beat, you know, two really good teams. And hopefully they go up and they take 2 or 3 or something from the Brew Crew. And they're able to, you know, kind of roll that into the next week. And that'd be really cool, cool and tough for us.
Would be cool and tough indeed, Juice. Incredibly well said, my friend. I'm going to second everything that you had to say. Because like today, as TJ says here in the comments, whole team played well today. It was fun to watch. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. This team has been fun to watch. Hopefully they can continue that. And Juice, I do love that even on yesterday's show, you referenced my love for referencing Moneyball quotes. I'm going to keep doing it again. Why do we like this team?
I think it's a show play now. We have to work in one Moneyball quote and then end it with the fuck the Cardinals and we roll credits after.
I want to squeeze every last ounce of baseball out of you.
I know I had to last night.
I love that. It made me laugh. It gave me a good heartwarming feeling and a good giggle at that, my friend. But like I said, 6-5 win today. Awesome. Two big games coming up over the weekend. We will be back with you on the 4th, and we can wish you happy 4th at that time. Happy, first off, I know there are some people that have listened to the show. It might even only be just a couple, but happy Canada Day to all of our friends north of the border here July 1st. It's already crazy that it's July 1st.
And happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day as well. He got his 1.19 mil from the Mets, so good for him. I hope he throws a nice party this weekend as well. But, Deuce, like you said, man, a great game today, and hopefully two more great games for the Cubs this weekend before we get to the holiday on Monday, and then they roll into next week on the road. So Juice, my friend, a great win today. Hopefully more to come. What do you say, buddy? We get out of here the only way we know how.
Fuck the Cardinals.
And let's go, Cubbies.